Okay, we're starting here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Vav Amud Bet. The Mishnah begins, Kolak Tamim, Hanimtzaim Bechom Makom, Teorim, Chutz, Men Hanimtzaim Bechadarim, Ubisvivot Beit HaTmeot. So all the Tamim that we find, in general, we assume that they're Teorim, except for those that are found near the rooms or the environments of the Beit HaTmeot. Now, the Beit HaTmeot are chadarim that the women used to use when they were nidot. So, in those areas or around those areas, we assume the ktamim that are found in those areas are the ktamim of nidot. Now, Beit HaTmeot shel kutuim, that's we're talking about Beit HaTmeot of regular Israelim. But the Beit HaTmeot shel kutim mitamim be'ohel. Not only they're mitamei with ktamim because of nida, but they also have a problem of tumat oel, tumat amet. Mipnei shein kovrim shem et nefelim, because they bury their miscarriages in those locations. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yekovrim ela mashlichim v'chaya goreret. They didn't bury their nefelim, they used to throw them out, and then wild animals would take them away. Now this is a separate part of the Mishnah, which is in terms of the nemanut, the believability of a kuti. Nemanim lomar kavanu shemet nefelim. Kuti is believed to say that he buried something in a certain location. Olo kavanu, we didn't bury it there. Nemanim lomar ala behema im bichra im lo bichra. They're also believed to as whether an animal gave birth to a firstborn already or did not, meaning that the subsequent baby is not a bichor or is a bichor. Nemanim al tziun kvarot. They are believed about marking cemeteries or graves. So these are three things, and we'll talk about in the Gemara, that are safek tuma. The guard says safek tuma. There they do not have ne'emanut. They do not have believability. Zeklal, this is the principle. Things that they themselves don't worry about, then they cannot be trusted to tell you the information that you need to know about it. So if they themselves are makpid on this thing, then they're also believed with regards to this thing to tell us the information that we need to know. The general demarcation or differentiation is between deoraita, things that are min haTorah, and derabanan, things those are rabbinic in nature. They're believed about things min haTorah because those are things that they kept. Things that are min derabanan, they weren't necessarily so mapidan. What's interesting here, and we're going to see in the Gemara, is that they are believed with regards to ketamim. And we know that ketamim are a gzeiru de chachamim. So Tosavot says, you can see on the last line here, va'af agav de ketamim derabanan, hach tuma itluhu, de zvora de migufa ato. They believe that it exited or was expelled by the woman's body, and therefore the ketam is an indication of the dam that flowed out of the woman. So despite the fact that it's only a din de rabbanan, the kutim were makpidim on this type of issue. They were makpid on it. The Gemara says, "My darush." What is the drusha about nefelim that the kutim don't feel a necessity to bury the nefelim? Because that's what seems to be indicated by our mission, that the kutim are not makpid on burying their nefelim. So where does that come from? Because it says, "Lo tasi gvul re'acha asher gavlu rishonim benachlatcha." So Rashi points out, the Gemara darshins other places, that this is talking about a person who sells the kivrei avutav, the burial places of his forefathers. That's what it is, the gvul re'acha asher gavlu rishonim, that which is passed down from the forefathers, the locations of the burial plots of the family, that they remain benachlatcha, they remain in your possession. Kosh yesh lo nachla, yesh lo gvul. So the kudim darshin, anybody who has the ability to have a nachla, they have a gvul. They get a burial, a proper burial. Kosh yesh lo nachla, yesh lo gvul. Anyone who does not have the ability to inherit also does not have the requirement to be buried, and because of that they bury their nefilim or they throw their nefilim out without any consideration of tumat amet. So nemanim lomar kavarnu. So now wait a minute, how do we believe them with regards to the burial of nefilim if they themselves are not makpid on such tuma, number one, and number two is we're going to see in 1 second that they halait luhulifnei iver lo titei michshol. They do not have or do not believe in the Jerushat Chachamim with regards to the pasuk of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. The literal translation is, do not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Chachamim Darshan, that means that one should not cause someone else to do an Avera. So they don't subscribe to that understanding of the pasuk. So number one is, we see they're not makpid on this mitzvah. And number two is, they don't mind causing someone else to be in violation of the mitzvah. So if that's the case, then why should we believe them when they tell us where the Nefelim are buried? So the answer, I'm Rabbi Bo, B'Kohen Omed Sham. It's a Kohen Kuti, who's standing right on that location. So now he's believed because he's not causing someone else to be in violation, but he himself is standing there. Vilgiruma Kohen Tamehu. Maybe he's a Kohen Tameh. Even if he's a Kohen Tameh, he's holding Truma in his hand. V'duma Truma Tameahi. Who says that Truma Teorah? It might be Truma Tameh in his hand. He's eating it. Then what's the Chiddush? You have a Kohen eating Truma over the area that he says that there is no Nefil buried. Obviously, they subscribe to Tumat Olamet. The only thing they don't do is think that a Nefil requires burial. But other than that, they do subscribe to Tumat Olmeit, and if you have all these factors here, of course he's believed. Mar says, Ma'udutema, I would have thought Lobikiye Bitsira, that they're not so well-versed or experts in the issue of the age of the fetus, and therefore they won't know when a fetus is considered to be a fetus that causes Tumat Olmeit, versus a fetus which is just a Ruach or Mayim, and does not cause Tumat Olmeit. So maybe they won't be experts in that. The Kamash one is that we do consider them to be well-versed enough in this, and therefore they do have Ne'emanut. They believe with regards to the Bechor, again, this is an overarching factor, which is even if they hold and they keep the issues of Bechorah, you still have the issue is that if they're going to tell you the information, it causes you to be in violation. They don't mind that. Causing someone else to be in violation is not a problem for them. It's only they themselves that they worry about in being in violation. He's using this animal as if it's clearly does not have Kedushat Bechor. He's doing things that are restricted from being performed on a Bechor. When it says, Yehochi Maila Memra, again, then what's the Chiddush? If they're acting and doing what is impermissible Minat Torah with this animal, it's clear that they don't believe it's a Bechor. Again, Madu Teima Lo Bikiya Bitinuf, they're not experts about miscarriages of Behemot Dakot, and therefore they won't know what to classify as a Bechor and what not to classify as a Bechor. Mashbalan, that we do trust them, and that they do have that Nemanut, since they do keep the mitzvah and they're makpid on the mitzvah, they have a Nemanut with regards to it. Nemanim aletziyun, they believe with regards to the demarcation or marking of kvarot and cemeteries. So now this Gemara answers, even though tzion kvarot is not mentioned in the Torah explicitly, it's only a din de rabbanan, kevan dechtiva, since it's written in the Torah shebechtav, mizar zhiribe, they still makpid on it. So even though it's a din de rabbanan, since it's found in black and white, in Torah shebechtav, dechtiv, it says in Yechezkel, v'ra'a etzem adam u'bana etzlo tzion. A person will see a bone and build by it a tzion. So since that is actually written in the Navi, even though it's only a din de rabbanan, nevertheless, that fact that it's written in Torah shebechtav is enough to cause them to be makpid on such an issue. Aval ein amenim, lo aschachot apraot and beit apras. Sechachot, what are sechachot? Detanan. Elu hein sechachot, ilana mesech ala aretz. That is a tree that causes shade over the ground. Praot, ditnan, v'mishnah, or etosefta, that says, avanim praot, hayotzot min hageder. These are large stones that protrude out of the fence or out of the wall. So as Rashi explains by the sechachot of the ilan, this is a tree that is on the path into the cemetery. And there are times where they were in a rush. It was Ben Hashmashot. It was on Friday afternoon. And they need to bury quickly. So they bury on that path or right next to that path. So there's a possibility that there's a kever under this tree. On the other hand, Tosafot claims that you don't have to make that the case. We're going to see later on that this is a case where we know for certain there is a kever underneath it. We're just not certain as to the location. And that's what the story is with this tree. There is a kever there. We just don't know where the kever is. The same thing with the stones. We know that there's a burial plot here. We just don't know under which stone that burial plot is. So over there, we say they are not believed to tell us that under which branches the kever is or under which stone the kever is. And that's because there's a safek here. The tuma could be under any one of the branches or any one of the ohalot that are created by this tree. It could be under any one of the protruding stones. We just don't know which one. So since the kutim are not makpid on safek tuma, there's a safek tuma, they don't worry about it. So because of that, we cannot trust them in this case. Because he'll just say, yeah, it's under this branch. It's under this rock. And he won't care so much because he doesn't really think there's tuma. Or he doesn't worry about safek tuma. So because of that, he's not believed. And the same thing with Beit HaPras. A person can blow on the ground and walk through a Beit HaPras. Beit HaPras, that was walked on Tahor. Beit HaPras, we're going to see in 1 second. Someone who plowed over a grave. That's what creates a Beit HaPras. How wide is the scattering of the grave after he's plowed that area? Below ma'ana, the amount of a trough or a furrow, which is me'ama, which is 100 amot, by 100 amot, which is the equivalent of Beit Arba'at Sa'im, is the place, the location that you plant 4 sa'ah in. The Mishkan is 100 by 50, which is sa'taim. So therefore 100 by 100 is Beit Arba'at Sa'im. So that's the area covered by where you would assume the plow dragged the bones from a kever. Rabbi Yossi Omer Chamesh. Rabbi Yossi says it's Chamesh Saim, not 4 Saim. So over here, they're not believed, because in all these cases, we're dealing with Safek Tuma. Safek Tuma by either the tree or by the Avanim, because only one of the branches or one of the stones he is protruding and covering up as an ohel, the others are not. And since it's a safek tuma, he's not makpid on it, and therefore he's not believed about it. By Beit HaPras, the kever is spread out all over the place. Again, there are methodologies for getting around that, which is what we mentioned before. If you go on the ground and you blow, you don't have to worry about it, because there's no basar metir left. There's only etzem, and etzem is only metameh b'maga u'b'masa, only by contact or carrying. So therefore, if you blow and make sure there's no etzim there, then you don't have to worry about it, because there's no problem of ohel. Or shenidash, a path that is well walked over. If the path is well walked over, then all the bones that are there are either crushed already or moved to the side, and therefore walking on the path is not going to be a problem. Again, here where there's a safek tuma, he is not believed. When I ask, v'lo mehemne, do we really not believe him? V'atanya, we have a braita. Sadesh avad b'kever, a field in which we lost a kever, we don't know where it is. The equivalent of Beit HaPras, that's also a type of Beit HaPras, Neman Kuti Lamar in Sham Kever. He can tell us that there is no grave in that field. Because he's testifying with regards to a grave and Tumat Ohel is a Din D'Oraita. And since he's believed about a Din D'Oraita, then we can believe him, but he says there is no Kever there. Ilan Shumesech Agala Aretz, Neman Lamar in Tachtav Kever. He's believed to say there is no grave under it. V'Sheinu Me'id Ela Gufo Shel Kever. Again, he's testifying about the Kever, about Tumat Meit, which is a Din D'Oraita. And over there, he's therefore believed about that fact. And then last one again, which is about the Praot, he would also be believed in that case. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, no, Mehalech Baal Pnei Kula. Case by the Bright over here is a case where he walks the entire field, or he walks under the entire tree. Where it says, he Hachim Hadam Emra. What's the Chiddush then? If he walks under the entire area, then it's clear that there's no Tumata Mate here because he subscribes to Tumata Mate. And therefore, if there was a Mate there, he wouldn't walk under that. So Gemara says, Ma'adutem, I would have thought, Ritsua Nafka, Kamash Malan, that that's not the case. I might think that the field has some protrusion somewhere where he didn't walk on it. And because of that protrusion, he says, it's really Safek Tuma. It's a Safek Tuma. Again, he's not Makpid on Safek Tuma. So because of that, we won't believe him. Kamash Malan, that if he walks the entire field, we're not going to be Choshesh for some little piece that he didn't walk on or that protrudes out of the field that he didn't walk on to say that's a Safek Tuma. If he walks on it, we can be pretty sure that he is telling the truth about this issue. Zeklal, this is the principle. Zeklal le'tuyemai. Again, the Bavli, the Gemara, always when the Mishnah puts Zeklal as a summary statement, the Gemara always wants to know what's included. What more is included in the Mishnah from the Zeklal? And here is no exception to that. Zeklal le'tuyemai, le'tuyet tchumin ve'yay nesach. Comes to include tchumin of Shabbat. By tchumin of Shabbat, the Kuti is not believed to say that until here is Tchum Shabbat, or this was where we carried until when we were younger, and so on and so forth, because it's a Din D'Rabbanan, and with the Din D'Rabbanan, they are not believed. And Yayin Nesech, they're not makpid on Magav and Ovid Kochavim, but the Yayin, again, because it's a Din D'Rabbanan, therefore they don't subscribe to it. So in those two cases, since they're not makpid on it, they are chashud on it, because they are not believed with something that they themselves do not consider to be a problem. Tosafot points out there will be a distinction here between the two different types of fields. In a type of field where we lost a kever and he walks the entire field, there he's believed because there is no safek tuma anymore, because he's walked the entire field. On the other hand, in a field that has the kever plowed around into it, that is a safek, because it's still a safek everywhere in the field. And if he walks the entire field, he still will not be believed because it's a safek tuma, and he doesn't subscribe to safek tuma. That's the end of this parak. We'll start the next parak now, which is Haroya Ketem al Bisara Keneged Beit HaTorfa, a woman who sees a stain on her body opposite the Makom Erva, then she's Tamea. Shano Keneged Beit HaTorfa, if it's not opposite an area where it could have come from her Beit Erva, then she's Torah. Aligva Val Rosh Godna, if it's on her heel or on her big toe, Tamea. Al Shoka Val Parsota, if it's on her calf, thigh, or her feet, Mibifnim, if it's on the inner part, then Tmeya. Mibachutz, if it's on the outer part, then she's Tohora. Al Tzadim, which means the front and back of them, Mikan Lekan Tohora. In both those locations, it's Tohora. Again, the Gemara will go through all of these different things. Ratal Chaluka, if she sees it on her beged, Minechagor Lamato, if it's below the waistline, Tmeya. Minechagor Lamalo, if it's above the waistline, Tohora. Ratal Beit Yad Shel Chaluk, if she sees it on the sleeve of her tunic, Imegia keneged beta tofa, if that part of the sleeve can reach to the makoma beta erva, then it's tmea. Bimlav tehura. Haita poshato mitkasa bo balaila. If she put it on and took it off during the night, koma kom shnimtza bo ketem tmea. No matter where the stain is found, tmea, peneshu choser vechein bepolios. because it moves around at night. Whether she's wearing it, taking it off, moving it around, since it moves around, there is no part which we consider to be the upper half, lower half, not facing, yes facing, because there's so much movement, everything is considered to be in play in terms of the ability to have damim appear on it. The same is true by the polios, which is, as Rashi points out, a malferet shmit kasibo, some sort of apron that she wears. The same will be true about that if the stain is found on it, since it moves around, is considered to be problematic. Amar Shmuel, badka karka olam, she checked earth or dirt below her, v'yashvala, and then she sat on it. I mean, she checked there was no damim there, she sits there, matzah damale, and then afterwards she finds blood there, tehora. She's still considered to be tahor, she never bivsara. Has to be from internally. Achetargish bivsara. Shmuel here makes a point, which we've discussed many times. We said this in the introduction to Nida. Mina Torah, the Tumata Nida only comes about if a woman has a sensation of the damim leaving the uterus. That's what Shmuel says over here. Bivsara means until she has a sensation within her that there's a release of the damim. Shmuel says, Ha bivsara mi baile. We need that bivsara from other things that we darshaned earlier in the Masechta. Shemitamam bifnim ki bachutz. The damim are mitamim even when they are still internal to the woman. They don't have to exit the woman when they're in the vaginal canal. They're already mitamim because we learned that bivsara from internally already. When it says im kem lemakra bivsar, my bivsara, I should agish bivsara until she actually has a sensation. We still need a third limud from here. Bivsara velo b'shvir velo b'chaticha. The damim are only when it's from inside of her, but not when they're encapsulated inside of something else, like a discharge of some sort that comes out of her that has blood inside of it. That's not considered to be dam nida because it's encapsulated. Where it says, tartish mamino, but we learned two things, you're right, enochanami, we learned that out. We actually learned three things out of the pasuk, but we learned one out of bisar, or bivsar. We learned out one of bivsara, and then because of that, we say that there's two. The bivsara has two meanings. Bivsara means inside from her, but also means that she has a sensation that it's coming from inside of her. So tashma, haisha shihi osa tzeracheha. A woman who is urinating, v'rata dam, and she sees dam. If she was standing, me'omer, imomedet, if she was standing up, t'me'a, then she is considered to be t'me'a. Im yoshevet, t'hora. If she's sitting down, she's t'hora. The reason for that is, when she's standing up, that's an unnatural position. The unnatural position causes pressure in the urination, and as we're going to say later, Rabbi Meir thinks that therefore the urine came and washed out the area of the mekor and pulled the blood out with her, so it's likely that this is dam nida. Then when she's sitting in a natural position where there is no pressure in the urination, we assume that the urine that's exiting does not reach into the makor or does not wash out the area of the makor. And therefore any damim she's seeing is definitely coming from a wound and not from her uterus. So hechi dami, what's the case here? Ida argusho, if she had sensation of release of blood, then yoshevet amai torah. Even when she's sitting, why is she torah? She had a sensation of damim leaving the uterus. Elalav delo argusho. Must be that she didn't have a sensation. Biktani, and despite the fact it says omedet tmeah. So that's against Shmuel's position. It says here that you don't need to have a hargasha. But it says, no, the olam da hargasha. She did have a sensation of the damim leaving. V'imor hargashat mei raglayim have. Problem we're having here is that she doesn't know, can't differentiate between the sensation of urinating and the sensation of the damim leaving the uterus. Omedet hadur mei raglayim the mikor. When she's standing up, we assume that the urine washed back into the uterus area and washed out that area and brought the damim out by didam. And that's why it's tmeya. V'yoshevet tehora. On the other hand, when she's sitting, there doesn't have that pressure, and therefore the damim are not pulled out. So the sensation here becomes irrelevant because she's unable to differentiate or discern between the sensation of urinating and the sensation of the damim leaving the uterus. So the only thing we're left with is the logical argument of why we're seeing blood here. We're either seeing blood because of the pressure of her standing up that could be washing out the uterine area, or because she's sitting down and that must be coming from a wound. So Tashma, another question on Shmuel. Eid, she has a bdika cloth that was put under her pillow, and she finds blood on it. Imagul, if it's a circular stain, tahor. Vimashuch, if it's a stain that's stretched across it, then tamei. Hechidami. Again, what's the case here? Irdar gisho, if she had a sensation of blood leaving the uterus, agul amai tahor. Even if it's circular, why is she tahor? She knows she had a release of damim. Alav delo argisho. Must be that she didn't have a sensation. Miktani, mashuch tamei. If it's as if when she's wiping herself, the blood smeared across it, then she's tamei, even though she had no hargasha. Again, the Gemara says, lo, leolam dargisha, she did have the sensation. V'imar hargashat eid havai. Again, she cannot discern or differentiate between the sensation of the blood released from the uterus and her bedika, the check that she's doing with the bedika cloth. Mashuch v'adai migufa ato. If it's strained or stained across the cloth, then it definitely came out of her body. Agul, If it's circular, then we can assume that that didn't come from her body, because if it came through the check, it should be smeared across. It shouldn't be in this perfect circle on the cloth. So again, the hargosha becomes irrelevant, and now we have to make a logical case as to why there is damim on this cloth. Tashma, another question on Shmuel. Nitza al shelo, found on the man's aid, tmeim, v'chayevin b'korban. Then they are tmeim and chayev b'korban, because we know for sure the nida. Nimsa al shela, if it's found on her cloth, etyom, if it was immediate, tmeim, v'chayevin b'korban. Then they're both tmeim, and she's chayev and korban, because that's boel nida. Nimtzal shela lachar zman, if they find it on her cloth after some time, tmeim misafek upturim in a korban. Tmeim misafek, because we don't know when the damim could have been after they had bia or while they were having bia. Upturim in a korban, because it's a safek. Hey chidami, again, what's the case here? Irdar gisha, if she had a sensation of the blood being released, lachar zman amay upturim in a korban. Then why is she patur in a korban? She knows she had a release of damim. She was a nida. Elav de lor gisha, must be she had no sensation of the release of blood from the uterus. Viktani, nimtzal shela tiyom tmeim. She finds it immediately on her aid. She's tamei v'chayvim b'karban. So how come there was no hargosha here? No, the olam dargisha. Again, she has this sensation. Ve'ema hargoshet shama shava. She can't distinguish or differentiate between the sensation of bia and the release of the damim from the uterus. She knows she has a sensation internally. She just doesn't know what it came from. So again, once she doesn't know that, then we're left with the safek, and now we have to make a logical argument about how it came about. If there's no separation between the check and the bia, we know she was pares nida while they were having bia. Then if there's some gap in time, we can't assume there's a safek here, because it's possible she was only pares nida after they had intercourse. So now the Gemara has a statement or a summary statement, and then the Gemara is going to go back and dissect it. There are three types of safekot by a woman. Al b'sara, safek tamei, safek tor, tamei. If she finds damim on her body itself, then if it's a safek tamei tahor, we assume it's tamei. Al chuluka, if it's found on her beged, then safek tamei, safek tahor, tahor. Then we assume it's tahor if there's a safek about it. Umamaga'ot b'hesetot, when she carries things or comes into contact with things, halech achar rov, we go after the majority. Where it says, my halech achar rov. What does it mean, go after the majority? La vim rov yomad tmeim tmeya. Does it mean that since the majority of her days she's considered to be tamei, therefore if we have a safek here, we're going to assume that she is tamei? Even though she had no sensation. No, the Gemara says, no. Imro v'yomer b'hargasha chazio tmeya. The imro hargasha v'la v'adato. If the majority of the times when she has a setting with damim, she has a sensation with it, we're going to assume every time there is damim here that she also had a hargasha, because that's what normally happens. But why didn't she feel it this time? Because something else caused her to be distracted. For whatever reason, she doesn't feel the sensation, but we're going to assume, since on the majority of times she does have a sensation, we're going to assume she had the sensation again this time. She was not paying attention to it. She was distracted. So Amar Mar, now the Gemara is going to go back and dissect this. Al b'sara, it's found our body, safek tamei, safek tohor, tamei. Al chaluka, safek tamei, safek tohor, tohor. Hey chidami, what happened here? Where did she find it on her beged? Imi chagor lamata, if it was below her belt line, al chaluka, then amai tahor. Why is she tahor? V'atanan, our Mishnah says, mina chagor lamata tamei. Imi chagor lamalu, if we're talking about on her beged, where it was on the upper half of her beged, above the waistline, al b'sara amai tamei. On her basar, why is it tamei? V'atanan, our Mishnah says, v'ata dam al b'sara shalog neged beta torfa. It's not opposite to beta erva, it's tahorah. So again, over here, our Mishnah makes a clear distinction about where the damim is found, whether it's on the beged or whether it's on b'sara, there's a distinction made. Here we have a statement in the Braita that makes no distinction between them. It says, if it's a safek on the body, tamei. Safek on the chaluka, it's tahor. Why is there no distinction made here? So Gemara says, Ibai Deima Machagor Lamato. Some say that it's from the belt line down, waistline down. Ibai Deima Machagor Lamalo, that it's from the waistline and up. Two possibilities. One possibility is, Ibai Deima Machagor Lamato, she finds it below the waistline. Ibai Deima Machagor Lamalo, she finds it above the waistline. Ibai Deima Machagor Lamato, she finds it below the waistline. Kigon, Shavra B'shuk Shel Tabachim. She walked through the butcher shuk. She walked through the butcher house. And therefore, Al B'sara, if she finds it on her body, migufa atio, it's definitely came from her body. Dima alma atio, if it came from walking through the butcher shop, al chaluka mi bayleish tuchuche, she should have at least found the stain on her clothing. I mean, she can't get it on her skin without it going through her clothing. The fact that there's nothing on her clothing is the indication that it's coming from internally. Al chaluka, if we find it on her beged, then mi alma atio, then we assume that it came from an external contact, something with the animals are going through the butcher shop, because dima gufa atio, had she come out of her body or be expelled by her body, al b'sara mi bayleish tuchuche, we should have found at least some stain on her body, not just on her beged. So that's why in these cases we assume, even though it's found below the waistline, we can make some assumption about where it came from. Since if it's found on the beged, we have something to be tole it on, walking through the butcher shop. If it's found on her body, then we can't be tole it, because it should have been appeared on her beged as well. Some say it's above the waistline. Kigon, dizdar kal b'sara, that she laid in a strange position. She laid herself back down on her body. So then, I'm sorry, dizdar kal, that she was laying down backwards. Right? Al basara vaday migufa ati. Again, if she finds it on her body, it definitely came from a goof. Dima alma ate. If it came from externally, al chalukai by leish tukuche, she should have found at least some indication of it on her beget. Is darko, which is that she's laying on her stomach on her back. But here it means is dakarka means that she took an unusual bodily position. So here it could mean a headstand. She did something that would have moved the blood from its normal position to another place on her body. Whether it means a headstand, whether it means that she laid over, turned over, whatever it was, that it wasn't just that she was walking in her normal position. So therefore we can assume that blood that's anywhere on her body could have come from the Beit Erva. Therefore, basara vaday migufa atyo. If it on her body, then it definitely came out of her body, out of her beit erva. Di ma'alma atyo. If it had come from externally, al chulukai by leili shtukuche. We should have found at least some evidence of this on her beged. If we see it on her beged, mi'alma atyo. Di migufa atyo al basara by leili shtukuche. If it comes out externally, she should have had some evidence of this on her body. Tani miha. Nevertheless, we see al basara safek tamei safek tohor tamei. If you have safek tamei and tohor, here it's tamei. V'afagav t'lo hir gisha, even though she had no sensation. V'ot nan. And we have another mishnah that says ro ketam al basara keneged beit tofa. Our mishnah, she has a siding next opposite her beit erva tamei. V'afagav t'lo hir gisha, even though there's no argasha. So what is Shmuel going to do with our mishnah? What is Shmuel going to do with this whole brayta that we just brought that seems to indicate there's no need for argasha? Remir midifti modi Shmuel she tamei mide rabbanan. Shmuel agrees that with a hargasha is tumat nida mide oraita. Tumat nida mide rabbanan still exists even without a hargasha. Now Rashi says the reason for that is dilma argasha v'lavadato. The din rabbanan emanates from the fact that maybe she had a sensation, but she just didn't realize it. Tosfo disagrees and says that filu muksa klash lo yagisha tmeya. Tosfo says it's not true because even if she knows for certain that she didn't have a sensation, she's still tmeya because hovrata adam nidot, because she's considered as if she saw adam nidot. So this din d'rabbanan is a din d'rabbanan that explains why she's tmeya, irrespective of whether she has a hargasha or not, because it's classified or is determined to be dam nidot. So now Rav Ashi amar Shmuel hu da amar Rav Nechemiah. Rav Ashi gives a totally different explanation for Shmuel's position. The way that we explained it until now, that was Shmuel's position was premised on the fact that it had to do with hargasha, that it had to do with the sensation of feeling. And therefore, we had all these questions that we tried to answer. Plus, we had this final question that's answered by Imriyam Bidifti, who says Shmuel agrees that hargasha is necessary for a din d'oraita, but not for a din d'rabbanan. Rav Ashi reworks Shmuel's whole reasoning and says, Shmuel hu d'amar k'Rav Nechemiah. The reason Shmuel says that the bloodstain found on the karka is problematic is because of Reb Nechemiah. We have a Mishnah. Nechemiah omer kol davar she'enu mekabel tuma, enu mekabel ktamim. That the din of ktamim only applies to an object that's mekabel tuma. This is halacha l'maisa, that today, that we only have problems with ktamim or stains that are found on things that are mekabel tuma. So that's why there's a machloket in the poskim whether pads that women wear are mekabel tuma or not mekabel tuma, because they are made out of synthetic materials, certain other things, toilet paper also, whether that is mekabel tuma or not. All of these things have impact in terms of whether the ketim that's found on these objects is considered to be problematic or not. The Gemara says, Bishlam o Rav Ashi hainu damar karko. According to Rav Ashi, I understand why the example in Shmuel's case is ground. Since the ground is not mekabel tuma, that's why the example, she checked the ground, she saw no dam there, she sat down and all of a sudden damim came out. Why is she tahora? Rav Ashi says, because it's a place that's enu mekabel tuma. But we pick karka because that's specifically something that's not mekabel tuma. But Rav Yirmiyah says the whole issue is hargasha here, mayiriya karka, filu glima, nami. Why does he have to talk about karka? Even if it was her cloak, she checked her cloak, it was clean, afterwards she sees her cloak and has damim on it, it would be the same din. Kamar says, no, according to Rav Yirmiyah, lo mi bayi glima, de lo mivdak shapir. I met a glima which isn't checked carefully, of the Meimar Me'alma Ate, and we could say maybe there's a reason that it was here, not from her. Elfilu Karka de Mivdok Shapir. When you're talking about the ground, you clearly see whether there was a stain there before and there was Damim there before, and Tigla Meimar Migufa Atya Tahor. Even though we can say that it came out of her body, nevertheless she's Tahor because it's not Mikabel Tuma. And since it's not Mikabel Tuma, the Din of Ktamim or the Din Rabbanan of Ktamim does not apply to that area. And of course, all the questions we asked before are not a questions on Shmuel based on that explanation of Rav Ashi, because he's not even dealing with Hargasha. Hargasha is not his issue. It's all about Mekabel Tuma or Mekabel Tuma. And so the halacha is, unlike both of these statements in a sense, because we know that midoraita, there's only a din of nida if there is a Hargasha. Midorabanan, we do worry about it even when there is no Hargasha. And that even Rav Ashi subscribes to. And number two is the din is that the din of Ketam midorabanan only applies on an object that is Mekabel Tuma, not an object that is not Mekabel Tuma. Okay, we'll stop over here.